Well, there's so much to say about it. So much to say about it. And biblically, the best place to begin is where we've been for the last year. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. And we're going to be looking for the essential elements of generous giving. The essential elements of generous giving. So as I read, and as you read with me, have that in mind. What's the most important thing here? Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The essential elements in generous giving. I thought a lot about what I should call it. Would it be the key? That could be a good word too. The foundation? That would be a good word too. But I finally decided to use essential elements. Now, how many of you are Latin experts? Raise your hands. I'm not either. But there's a phrase that I've heard many times, and I've seen it in my reading. Sine qua non. I don't know if that's the way the Latins would say it or not, but sine qua non. Have you ever seen that phrase or heard that phrase? Sine qua non. Without which not. Without which not. In other words, if you don't have this, you won't get this. This is absolutely essential to this. Without which not. Without this element that we find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there will be no generous giving. Now, I'm not saying that there will not be giving. But there's a difference between giving and generous giving. The Macedonians, tremendous example that we have of this essential element. Now, I've read the first five verses, but the essential element is in verse 5. Paul says of the Macedonians, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The first thing they did before they could give their generous offering for the saints in Jerusalem was to give themselves to the Lord and make Him the essential element of their life. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. They gave themselves to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Everything I am, everything I have, is yours. They gave themselves to the Lord. That's the cause. The effect is in the last part of the verse. They gave themselves to the Lord and to whom? Is it up on the... No, it isn't. Okay. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then, as an effect of the cause, they gave the offering first to us, to Paul, and to the companions that were with Paul. They were taking up the offering, and that offering would eventually get to the saints in Jerusalem that were living under very, very difficult circumstances. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave their generous offering. Cause, effect. The giving of themselves was the essential element. It's interesting to note that when they gave themselves to the Lord and their offering to Paul, they too were going through very severe times of trial. It's not that they were doing fine and the saints in Jerusalem were having a difficult time. No, they were under the same circumstances. But they gave themselves to the Lord, and therefore they gave themselves or their offerings for the saints in Jerusalem. Paul didn't want to take their offering. But verse 4 says, they begged with much urging that Paul accept the offering. Paul knew they couldn't do it. They had needs just as great as the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. But they gave themselves to the Lord, and the Lord prompted them to give to meet the needs of other brothers and sisters that were in equal or greater need. So what is the essential element that we see in the Macedonians? The essential element is an attitude of self-sacrifice, self-denial, self-renunciation. They put the Lord and the poor saints in Jerusalem before themselves. They sacrificed themselves. Now, this is a concept which is 100% contrary to what our culture teaches. Who is number one? The culture for every one of us says, you are number one. Yourself. You're the most important. Take care of yourself first. Don't worry about the other guy. If you need to stomp on him to get what you need and you want, okay, that's all right. You're number one. No. The Macedonians gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave their wealth, what little wealth they had, they sacrificed in order to give to the saints in Jerusalem. In verse 3, the second part, he says, they gave beyond their ability. They really couldn't afford to give this offering. Beyond their ability. In verse 3, the end, it says, they gave of their own accord. They gave willingly. They gave joyfully. They sacrificed. No pleading. No pressure. No emotional blackmail. No passing the bucket five times until we get the amount we want to have. No. Nothing of that nature. All of the prompting came from the Lord, to whom the Macedonians had given themselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord and to His will, which included His will for the use of the things that He had given to them. In the bulletin this morning, I have it here. Where did I put it? There it is. In the generous living box. Have you read that one yet this morning? God measures generosity not by the size of the gift, but by the size of the sacrifice. Not by the size of the gift, but by the size of the sacrifice. It's just a concept which is foreign to our culture. Putting others before ourselves. But it's essential to generous giving. Now, there are two types of sacrificial giving. Two types of sacrificial giving. The first type is sacrificial giving to fulfill the great commandment. The great commandment, sacrificial giving. You remember what the great commandment is? You can help me. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. first found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It's cited 6 times in the New Testament. Each of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul in Romans and in Galatians uses it. James in his epistle uses this quote. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, the example par excellence, that's French. The highest, the one that excels. There. The example is the Macedonian believers. They're the ones that sacrificed in order to meet the material needs of their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem and Judea who were suffering horrifically. Through great commandment, sacrificial giving, we meet the material needs of those around us. And in that way, we show our love for them and we show our love for the Lord. Great commandment giving. Now, to me, it's very interesting that the great majority of the teaching on giving in the New Testament has to do directly with great commandment giving. Meeting people's needs. That says something to me. Now, we take all of these portions and we apply them to our other kind of giving. The second type of giving is Great Commission sacrificial giving. Great Commission. Now, you all know the Great Commission. We'll use Matthew 28:19, and let's say it together. Say it with me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark. That was Mark, I'm sorry. Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. In order to make disciples, you have to preach the gospel. So in a sense, Mark comes before Matthew. You have to make disciples. That's our goal. Bring people to the Lord. Bring them into the Lord's body, into His kingdom. And we should be giving both to extending out and meeting needs and giving in order to meet the ministerial needs of the work. The kingdom needs. And again, the churches in Macedonia are the example par excellence of this type of giving. They were doing both types of giving simultaneously. Giving to meet the needs of the people and giving to see the gospel spread to the ends of the earth and the nations be disciples. Now, in Acts chapter 18, Paul is at Corinth. He's been there for a while, and he's joined up with Aquila and Priscilla as a business partner. He was a tent maker. He was a business as missions person. They were working together. And in verse 4 it says, and he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. He was working, and then on the Sabbath, he was doing his teaching. Verse 5. But when Silas and Timothy came down from, where did they come from? Macedonia. When they came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the Word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. What happened here? He was working 6 days, ministering on the Sabbath. Timothy and Silas came down from Macedonia, and all of a sudden, he's able to minister all day, every day, in the Word. Why? Because the Macedonians had sent offerings with Silas and Timothy in order to help Paul be able to give himself fully to the preaching of the gospel, to the winning of the Jews and the Greeks there in Corinth. Examples of Great Commission giving. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find Paul defending his apostleship in Corinth. And the Corinthians are saying, wait a minute, this guy isn't a real apostle. Because if he were a real apostle, he would be charging you for the teaching he's giving you. Just like all of the other itinerant preachers and teachers did in the day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9, I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. The Macedonian brethren were supporting Paul as their missionary in Corinth. They were meeting his material needs so that he could dedicate himself to kingdom needs, to Great Commission needs. Now, there are three churches, biblically speaking, that are the Macedonian churches. Three churches. They're the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, and the church at Berea. Those are the three churches that are the churches in Macedonia. Now, the Philippian church is the main example of those three in doing the support of the work and giving sacrificially to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through the Great Commission. They sacrificed in order to give. The examples of self-sacrifice in Philippians chapter 2. The examples of self-sacrifice in Philippians chapter 2. Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to wrap up very quickly. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's the sacrifice that we have to give, we have to make in order to be able to give generously. Do nothing from what culture says you should do everything for yourself. No, that's not the way it is. Do nothing for selfishness and empty conceits. Don't be self-centered, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. More important than yourselves. Rather than being self-centered, we are to be other-centered. And that requires a sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 10:24, Paul gives us the same idea in fewer words. He says, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Ninguno busque su propio bien, sino el del otro. The way we say it in Spanish. Don't seek things for yourself. Be thinking and seeking the good of others. And until we get to the point where we are sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing our ego, sacrificing everything that we have, and putting the Lord where He belongs in our lives, putting others where they belong, we will not be doing generous giving. It requires sacrifice. In closing, I just want to read the words of an old chorus. an old children's chorus that puts very succinctly the message. It's called Jesus and Others and You. The relationships that we should be maintaining in our life. It says, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you. In the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus. For He has first place. O is for others we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. Put yourself third and spell joy. If you want to be a joyful, self-sacrificing believer, have Jesus where He's supposed to be. That's number one. Others are more important than you are, so they're number two. And you put yourself third or last. Because if you've done one and two, then you know the Lord is going to take care of you and He's going to supply all of your needs and you can live a joyful, happy life because you have learned to give sacrificially and generously for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. We ask, Father, that you would help each one of us to consider where we are sacrificing and where we still are lacking in this area. We ask that you would make us sacrificial, generous givers for your honor and glory. Amen.